Okay. So before reading Bhagavatam, we wanted to say a few words about today. It's called Bhishmashtami. Ashtami, of course, means eight. It's the eighth day of the waxing moon, and it's the day in which grandfather Bhishma, the Mahajan, appeared in this world. So I'll tell a few stories about his appearance and activities within this world. So once upon a time, so Omaganat Medandasa, Nanjana, Slakaya, Chakshuru, Mintam, Yena, Tasmai, Shigavayamaha. Once upon a time, many eons ago, there were eight Vasus. These are heavenly society people. And what happened is that one of the Vasus wanted to get one of the Vasus' wives, and that Vasu's name was Jal, wanted to get the milk from the Surabhi cow of Vasishtha Muni. And the reason she wanted to get that is because she had a friend who was on the earth, and by drinking that milk, it was like Amrit, that one lives a very, very long life, practically, not eternally, but a long life. So she enlisted the help of her husband. Her husband got the help of the other seven Vasus, and they stole the desire cow from Vasishtha Muni. And so Vasishtha Muni, of course, could not be defeated even by the heavenly society Vasus. And so he cursed them to take birth on the earth planet. And that was a curse. That's interesting. It was a curse. And it's like we're all here. So you can imagine. It was a curse. Actually, from the heavenly planets, it is a curse in one sense. But in the Kali Yuga, it's actually considered a benediction to be present on earth, to take part in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. So they all went to him and they started crying. He said, okay, no problem. You can all have a short life except for one of you, whose name is Jal, the one who is primarily responsible. And he will take the lifespan of all of you. And he will live a long life and probably be a little bit miserable. So at the same time, there was a great king, Mahabish, who had gone to heaven. And being in heaven, he was attending one of Lord Brahma's dancing performances. And also with that dancing performance was Ganga Devi, the personification of the Ganges River. And there was a wind or somehow or other blew up her skirt, and he stared at her, just seeing her beauty, you know, the exposed beauty. And then Mahabish got cursed to come down to the earth planet. So Ganga Devi was kind of enamored with him at the same time. So basically, when she walked out of that dancing performance, the Vasus went to her. Remember, there was the ones who were cursed also to take birth on the earth. And they begged her, please become our mother, because we don't want to have just an ordinary earthly mother. So we want to have like a mother that's special. So she agreed, because actually she was already planning to go down to the earth planet to be with Mahabish, who was cursed to come down and take birth on the earth. So then what happened is that she came down to the earth, came down to the earth, and Mahabish came down to the earth as Shantanu, the famous Shantanu from the Mahabharata. So Shantanu was walking by the Ganges one day, and she came out of the Ganges, because she's the personification of the Ganges, and he took one look at her, and of course, because of past life and everything like that, he immediately became enamored. And when he became enamored, he immediately asked her to marry him. And she said, okay, I will marry you as long as you don't disagree with me ever. If you ever disagree, argue with me in any way, I'm out of here. And so he thought, how could such a pretty girl ever do anything that I would disagree with? You know, because sometimes we, not we, but sometimes people get enamored with the beauty. Or really, women also get enamored with the handsomeness of the man or whatever. And they think, you know, the stars in their eyes, that nothing untoward will ever happen. So, this is love in the material world. So anyway, so what happened, what did they say, sugar and spice and everything nice. So, they don't tell you what spice. Anyway, so, it's a sannyasa class. So then what happened is that they got married, they had a Gandharva marriage, in which case they exchanged garlands. It was a very simple marriage. And once they got married, they started having children. So remember, the Vasu was going to give me her children, but also they wanted to have a very short life, except for that one. So she proceeded to drown each and every one of her children. And Shantanu, having taken it, made that promise, couldn't say anything to her, because he was afraid of her leaving. So one child drowned, another child drowned, another child drowned, seven children drowned. And Shantanu was just holding, you know, biting his tongue during the whole time. Finally, she had the eighth child and she was getting ready to throw the kid into the Ganges, and Shantanu couldn't stand it any longer. And he said, "Stop! I don't understand why you're doing this." And then Shantanu, he was upset at this point. So Ganga Devi said, "Guess what? You broke your agreement. I'm going back to the heavenly planets and taking this son with me." So she left. That son, of course, was Devavrata, who later became known as Bhishma. So she left and she took her son. And her son, Bhishma, Devavrata, was trained up while he was in the heavenly planets by Brihaspati, who was training him in politics, by Vasishtha Muni, who trained him in the Vedas, and also by Parashuram, who trained him in martial arts. So, then, what happened? Later on, he was returned to his father, and Ganga Devi went back to the heavenly planets. So, what happened is that he was appointed by his father to be, it's called the Yuvaraj, that means the prince who would next be the king. You know, this was the principle of what we call primogeniture. Primogeniture means the oldest son, the oldest one who was born, he has the right, if he is qualified, to become the next king. So everything was going very nicely until one day Shantanu was by the Ganges again. You know, gets in trouble when he goes by rivers. So he was by the Ganges again and he saw this lady who was ferrying people across the river. And she was extremely, not only beautiful, but she had an extremely good smell to her. Actually, in the Mahabharata, it's described one name for her was Ganda Yojana. That means she who has a smell for 8 miles.
What?
Smell for 8 miles. Ganda means smell. Yojana is like 8 or 10 miles. Somewhere like that. So, but previously, her history is very interesting. Because she appeared to be the daughter of a fisherman. But the story of her birth was quite interesting. That there was this king, Vasu, who was separated from his wife. He was out hunting and he was feeling really attractive to his wife. And anyway, he lost some of his seminal fluid and he thought, well, the bird should carry it back to my wife. And the bird dropped it in the ocean. And the bird dropping it in the ocean dropped it in such a place that a fish swallowed it. And then the fish basically gave birth or had in the fish's womb. Fishes don't usually have wombs. Fish lay eggs. Anyway, but in this particular case, a human baby was there inside the fish. And it's quite an interesting story. So the fishermen got this fish, opened it up, and found a little baby girl. And this little baby girl, because she was in a fish for so long, and also because she was adopted by this fisherman, she had a really bad smell to her. Not a good smell. This is previously to meeting Shantanu. So this, of course, was Satyavati. And Satyavati, later on, attracted Parashara Muni, before she met Shantanu. And Parashara Muni wanted to have a child by her. And she agreed, basically, and they were on an island, and he made a fog so no one could see it. And he blessed her so she would have a fragrance that would be wonderful and attract everybody for 8 miles. In other words, she first had a fishy smell, and then she got a good smell. Got it? That's a very interesting story. And of course, when Parashara Muni had the relationship with her, and she gave birth, instantaneously actually, on an island, she gave birth to Shiva Vyasadeva. So that's the story of Shiva Vyasadeva's birth. So anyway.
Dwaipayana.
Island-born Vyasadeva. So Vyasadeva was Satyavati's son from a previous encounter with Parashara Muni. Okay. So let's go forward a little bit. So then, because she smells so good, looks so good, and actually she's a king's daughter, but nobody knows that. And then we have Shantanu fall in love with her. And so he immediately falls in love. I guess he has this problem of falling in love. He immediately falls in love with her and says, "Will you marry me?" And she says, basically, "We have to ask my father," the fisherman. So the father says, "No way. She can't marry you because you've already promised to Bhishma that he will be the next king. And I want her son to be the next king, not the son of Gangadevi." So Shantanu, respecting the fisherman's word, becomes very morose, goes into a state of extremely deep depression. You know, he just basically can't wake up, and there's no Prozac at that particular time. So he's just in bed all the time. And Bhishma, his first son, is just looking, "Dad, what's wrong?" And Shantanu really doesn't want to involve Bhishma in this, you know, because he knows that Bhishma will do something. So he just says, "It's nothing. Oh, I just don't feel well. I'm sick. I have the flu," or something. So Bhishma finally finds out, because he asks his father's prime minister or servant or something like that, what's happening. So Bhishma goes to the fisherman's house, fisherman who is the father, or at least adopted father of Satyavati, and he says to the fisherman, "I will make sure that he will be the son of Satyavati and my father, will actually become the next king. I renounce the kingdom. I renounce completely." And the fisherman says, "That's not enough. What about if you have a son?" And Bhishma says, "I vow never to get married, never to have any children, always be brahmachari for my whole life." It's called akhanda brahmachari, unbroken brahmachari. And at that point, the demigods are so amazed at this vow, because this vow has been taken by Jiao, who is the Vasu, going back in that story, and he was married in the heavenly planets, and he's taking a vow of brahmacharya love. That's quite unusual for someone from the heavenly planets. So the demigods begin to shower flowers upon Bhishma, and then at that point, his devavrata means taking the godly vow. Because if one remains brahmacharya, then basically you go back to home, but not back to home, back to God, you go at least to the heavenly planets. So, Shantanu was so pleased with his son that he blessed his son that "You will not die unless you want to die." And Prabhupada comments, in those days, the father's blessing was so potent that it worked. So if you got a blessing from your father, you would not die unless you wanted to. And of course, that blessing later on became the cause of Bhishma's long life and also a lot of the agony that Bhishma was experiencing. Anyway, so Satyavati and Shantanu get married, and as a result, they had two children, Vichitravirya and Shuchangada. And so everybody was happy. Shantanu was happy because they were going to be a princess who were going to take over the kingdom. But unfortunately, Shuchangada was killed by some Gandharvas. He was having a fight with Gandharvas of the same name. There was a Gandharva of the same Shuchangada. And there was a fight. It's your name. No, it's my name. I'm going to kill you. You know how these martial arts people are. And then, so there was one son left of Shantanu and Satyavati, and that was Vichitravirya. And Vichitravirya, Bhishma didn't want to take any chances about continuing the dynasty. So Bhishma thought, I have to arrange the marriage of Vichitravirya, because Vichitravirya was a little weaky. You know, he wasn't a strong constitution. So he thought, I'll find him wives. So Bhishma kidnaps the three daughters of the king of Kashi. That's Amba, Ambika, and Ambalika. That means Amba, little Amba, and very little Amba. It's interesting how these names are there. So he kidnaps them, brings them back, but Amba, the oldest one, reveals after he brings them all back that she was actually promised or fell in love with Shalva. Because Shalva was later on killed by Krishna, but that's a different story. So she says, I'm in love, I can't marry anyone else. And Bhishma says, okay, you can go back, no problem. You can go back and marry Shalva, at least we got two girls, fine. And she goes back to Shalva. Shalva says, I'm a Kshatriya. I don't accept anything in charity. And you've already been with Bhishma. So you get the hell out of, you know, so-called love. Previously they were talking to each other, holding hands and everything like that. You know, just nasty. And so he sends her back, and she's really fried by this point. So she goes back to the kingdom, you know, Hastinapur, where Bhishma was, and says, Bhishma, now you have to marry me. And he says, I've taken a vow, become the brahmachari. Plus, why would I get married to someone who's angry as hell with me? You know, there's two reasons why he agreed, why he disagreed with her proposal. So she gets angrier and angrier and angrier. And she goes to her uncle, who is a friend of Parashuram. And Parashuram, remember, is Bhishma's martial arts guru. And she says, you have to make him marry me. So Parashuram says to Bhishma, his disciple, you have to marry her. And Bhishma says, no way, Guru Maharaj. Yeah, so actually Prabhupada says, that was, in those instances you can disobey the order of your spiritual master. Something like that. Anyway, so Parashuram said, well, if you won't accept my order, get ready to fight. So Bhishma and his spiritual master fought for 23 days, back and forth, back and forth. They had a horrendous fight. Finally, Bhishma wins, but doesn't kill his spiritual master. So basically, Amba is left alone without a husband, the poor girl. So she gets so angry at this point that she begins to perform austerities to be able to kill Bhishma. And she is able to please Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva says, you will be reborn and be the cause of death for grandfather Bhishma. Wasn't grandfather at that point. For Bhishma. Later on, she was born. This is also a very interesting, funny story. Funny, too. I mean, not hilarious, but it's just a really unusual story. Later, she was born as the daughter of Drupada. And Drupada, it's very interesting, he was expecting his son. So Lord Shiva even told him, this child that's going to be born is going to be a son. Have faith in my words. But instead, Drupada had a daughter. So because he had so much faith in Lord Shiva's words, he thought, you know, this is just my imperfect senses. It's actually his son. Kind of dangerous. So what he did is he arranged for his daughter, who he thought was his son, to be married to another girl. And so a girl who was a princess. So the princess means that she had a father who was a king. So this king brought his daughter to marry Drupada's daughter, who he thought was a son. Okay, so there's a marriage ceremony. And then she, the princess of the other king, discovers that she's married a girl. And so she goes back to her father and tells her father, Dad, guess what? And the father gets so upset, he gets ready to attack Drupada's kingdom. And Shikhandi, which is the name of Drupada's daughter, gets so upset that she thinks that she's the cause of all the problems of her father. So she leaves the kingdom and goes to the forest and is crying. She's discovered by a yaksha. And the yaksha says, what's wrong, little girl? And she explains what happened. And he says, no problem. I will exchange my masculinity with your femininity. You will become a man, I'll become a woman. For some time, just a few days. Okay. So then Shikhandi goes back as a man at this particular juncture. And then this king and his daughter are very satisfied. Okay, it's actually a man. No problem. But in the meantime, this yaksha, whose name is Sunavara, has a visit from Kuvera. And Kuvera is in charge of the yakshas. Kuvera gets very upset that his yaksha friend, Sunavara, had changed his sex. Had a sex change operation. And he curses him to remain a girl as long as Shikhandi remains alive. So that's why Shikhandi is actually, at that point, remains a man for the whole period of the Mahabharata war. So, this is a very important story because Shikhandi is the cause of Grandfather Bhishma's death. Then, later on, fast forward in the story, there's the Battle of Kurukshetra. And Grandfather Bhishma is the commander-in-chief of the army. And he doesn't fight of the wrong army, actually. He's on the side of the Kurus, and he's opposing the Pandavas. So he doesn't fight very seriously when he's attacking the Pandavas. You know, just somehow or other, he's not really... Well, he doesn't want to kill them. They're his grandchildren, basically. So why does he want to kill his grandchildren? So Duryodhana, who is the head of the Kurus, he says to Grandfather Bhishma, that you are not fighting well. You're a disgrace to the Kshatriya race. And he gets very angry and he says, okay, here are these five arrows. I'm investing all my potency in these five arrows. And with these five arrows, I will kill the five Pandavas tomorrow. I vow that. These five arrows will kill the five Pandavas. So Duryodhana was very happy about that. But Krishna, being extremely tricky, knew how to deal with the situation. So he told Arjuna, you go and visit Duryodhana tonight. Because at night they weren't fighting. That was the rule for the Kshatriya. So you go and visit Duryodhana tonight. So Arjuna went to visit, and he was advised by Krishna, you just ask him for a boon. You know, Kshatriyas normally don't ask for benediction, don't ask for boons from other Kshatriyas. And that boon should be those five arrows. So Arjuna goes to Duryodhana and says, can you give me a gift, Duryodhana? And Duryodhana thinks, this is good. Arjuna's acting humble, you know. Yeah, whatever you want, Arjuna. And Arjuna says, I want those 5 arrows because Duryodhana is keeping them safe because he figures that Grandfather Bhishma might give them away or something like that. And so he gives those 5 arrows to Arjuna. And so Bhishma doesn't have the 5 arrows anymore. And Duryodhana says, look, just get 5 more arrows. No problem. And Grandfather Bhishma says that I actually invested all my potency in these 5 arrows. You know, I can't do it again. You know, it's just like I put all the Shakti in there. But I'm going to vow anyway to kill Arjuna the next day. Unless Krishna interferes. And Krishna's promised not to fight in the battle of Kurukshetra, not to interfere. Of course, Krishna was interfering in many different ways. So, Grandfather Bhishma goes into the battle the next day and he's firing the arrows. And Arjuna's life is in danger. And so what does Krishna do? Krishna breaks his promise because Krishna promised not to fight in the battle of Kurukshetra. Krishna grabs the chariot wheel and he rushes towards Grandfather Bhishma to kill him with the chariot wheel. And Arjuna, who wasn't fighting so seriously against Grandfather Bhishma, because that's his grandfather, doesn't like that because it's very embarrassing. Arjuna, of course, is a kshatriya, the martial arts, or the martial people, they have some pride. And he grabs Krishna's leg and he keeps Krishna from rushing. Some Russian at Grandfather Bhishma, and he says, look, I'll kill him. Whoops. And Grandfather Bhishma is just so overwhelmed with seeing this chivalrous display. And also, at the same time, Grandfather Bhishma has been firing arrows at Krishna. This is described in the Bhagavatam, that the arrows that struck Krishna took them like lover's bites. I don't know what that means. But anyway, he took it as like the bites of lovers. Something like affectionate exchange. Because this is chivalry. Chivalry is one of the indirect rasas. There's 7 indirect rasas and 5 direct rasas. And so chivalry is one of those. And Grandfather Bhishma, he remembers Krishna. Even at the time of leaving this world, he's remembering Krishna in that chivalrous mood. So Bhishma doesn't kill Arjuna that particular day, and Bhishma is not killed that particular day. So later on in battle, Krishna tells Arjuna that if you want to defeat Grandfather Bhishma, if you're actually serious, you should put Shikhandi on the chariot in front of you, in your own chariot in front of you, to shield you. Because Grandfather Bhishma has vowed that he will never shoot an arrow or harm a woman, even someone who was previously a woman. And Grandfather Bhishma knows this whole story about how Shikhandi was previously a woman in this life, and how Shikhandi was previously Amba. Remember the story? Previously Amba, who was vowed to take birth to kill him, or be the cause of his death. So Arjuna mounts the chariot, put Shikhandi in front of him, and Grandfather Bhishma is just firing the arrows in all directions, but not at Shikhandi and not at Arjuna. And Krishna tells Arjuna, all right, shoot your arrows at him. And Arjuna, he's very reluctant. That's his grandfather, and his grandfather is more or less disarmed at this particular point. In other words, he's laid down. Basically, he's not shooting his arrows seriously. So Arjuna just basically closes his eyes and goes, oh my God, how can I do this? And he fires an arrow at Grandfather Bhishma. And Grandfather Bhishma, being a very strong personality, keeps rushing. He gets off his chariot and he rushes towards Arjuna. And Arjuna fires another arrow and another arrow and another arrow and another arrow. And Grandfather Bhishma keeps rushing towards Arjuna. You know, can you imagine the power of these kshatriyas? Because, I mean, if someone fired an arrow at me, I'd stop dead in my tracks and scream for my mother or something like that. Isn't it? I mean, you got an arrow in you? I mean, even you know, you're bleeding or something like that. It's extremely painful. So he kept rushing, and finally Arjuna fires enough arrows to knock Grandfather Bhishma down. Yara is completely piercing Grandfather Bhishma's body because he's had this benediction to not die unless he wanted to die. And so there, he has like hundreds of, it's described there's not even a finger's width between the arrows. Arjuna didn't fire any arrows at the head, though. But the rest of the body, he was firing arrows. So all the legs, the arms, the belt, everything, the neck, everything. And Grandfather Bhishma was lying there on this bed of maybe hundreds and hundreds of arrows. And Arjuna's just like morose because what has he done to his grandfather? And so, but Grandfather Bhishma doesn't die. And one of the reasons he didn't die, or didn't want to die at the particular point, is that he wanted to make sure that the kingdom would be in the hands of the Pandavas. Because he had taken a vow not to leave his body until he made sure that Yudhisthira or religious people were actually in charge of Hastinapura, the kingdom. So, anyway, so he was lying there on the bed of arrows, and he asked, he said, I'm thirsty. And Arjuna fired an arrow in the ground and pierced down. Somehow the Ganges was below the earth at that point, and the Ganges came out, and a stream of water came out and entered Grandfather Bhishma's mouth. And also Arjuna fired several arrows to made a pillow for Grandfather Bhishma, because his head was just like, hanging there, which is actually extremely painful. So then, later on, Krishna came and he blessed Grandfather Bhishma that he wouldn't feel any pain and his mind would be completely clear, so he'd be able to give cogent instructions. So Yudhisthira Maharaj, after the battle of Kurukshetra, fast forward, and the Pandavas, of course, had won and everybody was dead, except for a few people, Yudhisthira Maharaj said, I'm not going to accept the kingdom because I'm the cause of the death of so many persons here, and also the cause of so many ladies being unprotected. I mean, it's a disaster for society. And Grandfather Bhishma convinced him, not only convinced him to become the king or the emperor, but convinced him, or taught him about all the, Niti Shastra, all the rules and regulations, how to be a king, how to be charitable, and gave him very wonderful instructions that are mentioned in the Mahabharata. In the Shanti part of the Mahabharata. This is one of the largest parts of the Mahabharata. And so Grandfather Bhishma in this way gave those instructions, and then when it came time after the winter solstice, after December like 23rd, because that's when the sun again starts to go towards the north. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that?
Yeah.
Because he didn't want to pass away. There was another thing when the sun was in the south, because it's not auspicious for a yogi. You want to pass away when the sun starts moving the other direction to the north. So anyway, so after the winter solstice, then it was arranged at the perfect time. Krishna came before him, and he left this world staring at the Supreme Personality of Godhead and went back to Godhead, or the heavenly planets. Grandfather Bhishma is a Mahajan, and by his pastimes, he shows us the danger of accepting bad association. Because even though he's a Mahajan, one of the 12 great personalities who set an example of religious dharmic life for everybody, because he associated and particularly took impure food that was cooked in Duryodhana's kitchen, Prabhupada commented on that, he was able to be basically contaminated, even though he was a great pure devotee. So we can learn from this particular lesson. In fact, in the Mahabharata, it says that he was basically taken over by these subtle living entities and made to act in an improper way because he had eaten impure food. So that's the story of Krishnastami. So I don't think we have time to get to Bhagavad Gita. So any questions or comments about Grandfather Bhishma? Yeah.
Yeah, I've realized a long time ago that planet Earth is hell, and I always thought my
myself afterwards, am I really just being a little too fanatic when I say something like that against my own, in my own subconscious, in my mind, not to somebody else, but
yeah.
Because a soul is sent here as a curse.
But now, in Kali Yuga, a soul is sent here as a blessing.
The demigods are lining up.
Because the demigods are lining up. It's another yuga's, yeah. That was the previous yuga. In this yuga, the souls want to come here because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is here, and you can make a quick solution as far as spiritual life becoming pure devotee is concerned. Namo Mahapanyaya Krishna Prayampadai. You can get Krishna consciousness in one lifetime. Previously, is Bohunam Janmana Ante, after many, many lifetimes. So it's, in this yuga, it's actually a blessing to be here. And it's a blessing to be part of this movement in the Earth planet. So I'm happy I'm here.
Well, me too, so far. It's helping me out a lot, spiritually and physically. But out of 7 billion people on this planet, very few people come to the Hare Krishna, temple.
Yeah, therefore you have your mission in life.
Yeah, we are in hell then. Don't come to the
temple. But you have your mission in life to bring them to Krishna consciousness.
Yeah,
that's our mission. Our mission, and in the Western world specifically, we have that mission because we need to bring more people. It's not the same as it was when Prabhupada was born. We need to bring more Western people to Krishna consciousness. That's our specific.